Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. Sarah Fuller made history Saturday, becoming the first woman to play in a Power 5 football game. It was fucking awesome. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. an OG Wake Forest Kendall Hinton stan. And with me, as always, is AJ, Harbaugh lost to 0-5 Penn State, Marchese.
I was like really hoping you weren't going to bring up Michigan today, but I'm not surprised.
Today, we'll break down our 2021 NFL Draft superlatives from this past Saturday in college football. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, don't draft specialists on the second day, maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your sports online sportsbook experts. I messed it up, but I almost got through it, so congratulations to me. And you know what, AJ? Congratulations to Jim Nagy, who could be the next Lions GM. Who knows?
Fuck, I sure hope so, Rob. I'll say that.
And we hoped for it with Mayock and the Raiders. This is a different kind of hope for Nagy and the Lions, but maybe a more exciting hope.
I hope for this more than I hope for Mayock. Because like when we lost Mayock, we were losing Mayock. It's like, I'm going to miss him, but...
That's true.
But I'm happy to see him get the gig. Where Nagy is just like, this is hilarious, and I kind of want him gone. So hopefully he doesn't listen to the show.
But speaking of, he did add 2 SEC offensive linemen this week to the Senior Bowl.
He's so good at his job. Look at him.
He never stops. He never stops. Georgia offensive guard Ben Cleveland and Alabama center Landon Dickerson.
Cleveland's pretty exciting. He's had a really good year this year.
I think in this kind of open-ish center class, like Landon Dickerson's going to be the guy who goes late day three and is a backup for a while. You know, he's got that Alabama
clout. He's Bradley Bozeman.
And that's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, he can spot start. but Ben Cleveland is a pretty exciting one because that's a guy who has been – quietly, the Georgia offensive line has been pretty impressive this year, sure. Specifically him and center Trey Hill. And Cleveland's just like one of those country strong guys. Like, I think he'll be a very interesting guard prospect for like a power scheme, potentially like an early day three guy who could, I don't know, end up a starter sooner than later.
I fully agree, honestly. I think he's... I don't know if he's – I guess – I think he'll keep rising, but I don't know where people feel about him right now. But I think, like, early day three is, like, a definite landing spot for Cleveland. And he's a big guy, and you watch the Georgia offensive line. They move people. And Hill's also going to go high, too.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And like I mentioned, it's the center class is, I don't think, outside of Creed Humphrey and Josh Myers, there's no one who's really talked about all that much.
No, not
And I don't think Creed Humphrey, I think, is going to go probably in the second round. Mm-hmm. Josh Myers, I think, is going to be very dependent on, like, I think he'll be a little bit polarizing. And then after that, like, there's Alec Lindstrom at BC, James Empey at BYU, like you mentioned, Hill with Georgia. But, like, there's not a ton of guys.
I think Hill is center three right now.
He's certainly played that way. Maybe even center two.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I'm not the biggest Josh Myers guy in the world, so.
Hey, there's the Coastal Carolina center. What is this, Coastal Carolina, right? That he's small? He's really small. What school is that?
Yeah, he's 5'9", Sam Thompson.
He's sick.
He's great. Before we jump into our Week 13 NFL Draft Superlatives, would you like to call your shot with who will be the next Lions head coach and or GM?
No, but I'm saying in my heart I want it to be Jim Harbaugh and Jim Nagy.
The Jims?
The Jims.
Both Michigan grads.
That's true. It's true. I don't know why they keep acting like that matters for the Lions. It's not like they've really gone at that well too much anyways.
No, it's a little bit weird. Who, okay, in that scenario, who would you want to replace Harbaugh with Michigan?
Come on. I mean, Fickell. Okay, I'll give you my top three right now.
Yeah.
Fickell, Joe Brady, and Matt Campbell. So the three I want right now.
It's a good top three. They'll hire none of them.
Probably not. Harbaugh's going to stay the coach, but whatever.
You know, the weirdest suggestion for Lions GM I saw on Twitter yesterday was Chris Spielman.
I saw that too.
Which, I mean, I don't know. His brother is Rick, the Vikings GM. He's one of the best Lions players ever. And an Ohio State grad, so.
Yeah, Matt Millen 2.0.
Come on. Be better. Okay, let's jump into Week 13 NFL Draft Superlatives. Let's start with the top best freshman, AJ. And I might like to mention, we had a nice slate of Friday games to kind of supplement a not-so-nice slate of Saturday games.
Yeah, for sure. My freshman list is pretty short this week, to be honest. But
I think
first I'll say is, how about Noah Sewell out of Oregon, baby, who I thought was pretty great in the Platypus battle. And I mean, lots of talk about him. We know he's a freshman. He's so well built at 6'3", 250. Last week he got carted off the field, and he didn't miss a single day of practice, which is just lunacy. And then he comes out and 10 tackles, a couple TFLs, all over the field for the Ducks. He just already looks the part big time.
Yeah, he and their other freshman Justin Flo, two freshmen, 5-star linebackers. Flo's already he's hurt, but the fact that Mario Cristobal recruit both them, obviously Noah Sewell's, Panay Sewell's younger brother, he looks like a defensive lineman playing linebacker with how well he's built.
Yeah,
he's got a bit of the cowboy collar. He's wearing number one. He's got that swag, and he plays hard as hell. I've enjoyed watching him. Another defensive guy who you've mentioned a couple times now, Malachi Moore, the Alabama safety. It looks like in 2 years he's going to be a first-round prospect.
Yeah, man. Dude, he's just a baller. Like, every single game he's out there making big-time plays. It's like forced fumbles, picks. And yesterday that pick was sweet. And it's like every time you watch him, it's just he's all over the field. And he's got that intangible just playmaking ability.
He's obviously a true freshman he can play nickel, he can play safety. He earned a starting job right away, even though he didn't enroll early.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he's following the footsteps of Alabama's not DBU, but they produce some of the most physical NFL defensive backs like Marlon Humphrey, Minkah Fitzpatrick. And he looks like he's the next one in line. Obviously, right now, they also have Patrick Surtain, Josh Jope. Those guys are going to get drafted. Like, Alabama just obviously produces talent at every position. And I'm loving watching Malachi Moore. His stats are pretty crazy for a true freshman. Through eight games, he has Four TFLs, three picks, six pass breakups. Like, he's such an impactful. I wish there was. I know there's obviously a conference by conference freshman of the year award, but if there was a just overall freshman of the year, I think he'd firmly be in it, especially as a true freshman.
They should do like with the Heisman, like have a like an underclassman of the year award or something like that. Like fill out that broadcast a little better.
Yeah, add some more awards.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Do you have anybody else? I didn't end up having anybody else.
No, I had those two, and I'll throw Michael Meyer in here again, the Notre Dame tight end. I know I've mentioned him multiple times, and he had to drop this game, but he just looks so damn good, man. He very much so looks the part of being baby Gronk, baby.
All right, speaking of tight ends, a sophomore tight end in Alabama caught my eye a little bit. Didn't have a huge game or anything, but Jahleel Billingsley caught a touchdown in the Iron Bowl. And he looked like he was moving so well for a tight end. I think he's listed at like 6'4", 240, kind of more of an H-back almost. And they were talking about how he's come on a ton in recent weeks. And you saw that he burned the safety. And like Alabama's got so many mouths to feed. Like this guy is, it was just 33 yards and a touchdown, but I mean, next year with Devonta Smith gone, with Jalen Wall's hurt, but with those guys gone, like this guy could be the next man up. And I mean, and I might as well mention John Metchie caught two more touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah, we are certainly tight end rich in college football right now.
It's weird.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good underclass. Like Jalen Widermeyer at A&M is awesome too. Meyer, yeah. Like there's a lot of guys right now, and obviously Kyle
Eric Pitts Gilbert at LSU.
Yeah, Gilbert, and obviously Pitts is maybe the best tight end prospect ever. I don't know. Well, he's up there, but there's just a lot of guys, man, and it's really impressive. And again, we've talked about this tight end class this year, and I think there's obviously the high end guys, and there's a lot of middle guys that I've fallen in love with over the course of this college football season.
I'll give you three more sophomores, all corners, okay. Two from the same team even. First, Andrew Booth with Clemson. He had the incredible interception where he basically levitated to pick off Kenny Pickett on the my mind is gone today, AJ. What? Help me here. What
is that?
The flea flicker. Thank you, AJ. Very good. But yeah, that's not the first time we've seen Andrew Booth make an incredibly athletic play on a ball. It's been a couple times this year, and he's a true sophomore, so he's a 2022 guy. And Clemson, another school, has been producing a lot of DBs recently, and he is looking like he's going to be a top prospect next year.
Yeah, he looks like the best of top bunch. Sorry to jump your gun there.
Yeah. And speaking of top prospects, like Derek Stingley, who we haven't heard a ton about this year at LSU, mainly because LSU is not good and their games aren't being put in big time slots, I guess. Against Texas A&M, he helped shut down Kellen Mond. He broke up three passes. He looked good tackling too. Yep. Yep. Him and teammate Cordell Flott on the other side, I thought looked really good too, and I didn't even know who he was. And he had a ton of tackles. He broke a couple passes. Those two looked legit at corner against A&M. Maybe LSU's going to be relevant again next year, especially once Miles Brennan's healthy. But maybe the defense will be a little better too with that type of talent at corner.
I mean, they were talking about Puge on the broadcast, but pretty much Stingley, whoever is lined up against him, is going to be erased next year. And I mean, already. So, yeah, I mean, when you got a weapon like that, it's going to always make your defense better, period.
All right, do you have any sophomores?
Oh, yeah. A couple usual suspects that I'll shoot through quick. I thought the running backs were impressive again. Breece Hall, quieter game, but he's still so good. Every time he touches the football, it's fun as hell. And same way with Isaiah Spiller, who's a bigger dude and shows some juice in this game yesterday. 141 yards, a touchdown. This running back group next year, if they come out, which they probably will, is shaping up to look really, really good. And I know we just have the two top end guys, and it gets a little money. Like, Gainwell's probably running back three, but we haven't seen him this year. And then, you know, it's a little mucky, but next year's looks so much better. And I mean, I still love Kyren Williams. It's just like, what, three total touchdowns against UNC? They kind of just leaned on him in the second half. He did the LeBron celebration. He got the shout out from LeBron. Then, I love all three of these backs, man. They're so much fun to watch every week, and they're gonna be like the face of, well, one of the faces of college football next year. I'll throw in another usual suspect. I thought Thibodeau was as awesome as ever too. A sack of TFL, pass deflection. He's just always a monster. But two new faces. One, I'm going to dip into your game, your Washington game, Rob. How about Zion Tupuloa-Fetiu, the edge for the Washington Huskies? He sticks 3-280, had three sacks yesterday and two fumble recoveries. He's got seven sacks in three games so far for the Huskies. And the buzz out of Seattle is kind of like he's the guy. And at that size, he moves well. Even like I just watched like the fourth quarter, not even like the second half of the fourth quarter. And when he wasn't getting home, he was sniffing the quarterback. He looks really impressive. And one more guy. I thought DeMarvin Leal, the A&M IDL, was really interesting. I mentioned another one too in a sec, but 6'4", 290, seven tackles, TFL, two carries. He just, him and the other one I'll mention, kind of just dominated the LSU offensive line. And it just felt like every play they were kind of just generating pressure. Him and Bobby Brown, who I put as a riser, and we'll talk about in a sec.
That defensive line in general, but yeah, specifically in that game, the interior, I thought Peavy as well. That three is one of the best three interior D-line trios in the, or I guess I can't speak today, but one of the best interior D-line trios in college football is those three. That A&M defense is legit.
Yes.
Really enjoyed watching those boys.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay, is that everyone? You named about 15, so.
Yeah, it's everyone.
Your favorite part of the show is Best Sophomore. I know it.
It's fun, and I get to look ahead to next year.
Yeah, you're always, next year's always better.
It is. It always is.
Okay, let's go to Weekday Warrior. And again, I mentioned we had a big Friday slate, a whole bunch of games, three really good ones, and three high priority games. And I'll start off here with Notre Dame left tackle Liam Eichenberg.
That was my weekday warrior, too. I just wanted to keep it to one. I have guys other places. I give Eichenberg the weekday warrior.
Good pick because he just shuts down everybody.
Yep.
It was kind of funny watching him block some of the North Carolina pass rushers where it almost looked like he wasn't trying. Mm-hmm. He looks so much better this year. It's still not really, like, in the form of mock drafts, you're not really totally seeing him be a first-round guy in those. But I don't know. He's played better than, I think, any left tackle in college football, really, this year, outside of maybe Christian Darrisaw. Obviously, Sewell and Slater are opting out. And he's going to the Senior Bowl, and I don't know. I think maybe come April, he ends up in the back half of that first round.
I would put an Eichenberg for my top shooting up the board. And, I mean, it's kind of like a slow climb for him. And I totally agree with everything you said. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. And like you said, he was just so rock-fucking-solid again against UNC. And, like, just looks so easy. And then in the second half, when they were running with Kyren Williams, that offensive line just absolutely leaned on UNC and just took that game over. And Eichenberg just, he made it look really simple, and I think when we start throwing the tape on in a couple weeks, a month, whatever, I think this game, you're going to go back and you're like, that's just really easy for Eichenberg.
I do wonder how long he ends up being, and again, I don't know how much that matters. Like, Rashawn Slater is going to come in with 33-inch arms, yep, and probably be a top 15 pick, should be a top 15 pick. His tape's that good, so I don't know. I think Eichenberg's got a chance to really be the true winner of the Senior Bowl as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, for sure.
And then Jim Nagy will draft him, so, with the Detroit Lions.
I wonder, Matt, the Lions should just wait and let him run the Senior Bowl and then hire him. Genius.
Correct. Because then he'll just draft Senior Bowl guys, which he would do anyway.
Exactly. Signing all the UDFA Senior Bowl guys that he doesn't say exist, and yeah.
I will add two more weekday warriors, both pass catchers from the Texas-Iowa State game. Iowa State tight end Charlie Kohler, who had 6 for 131, and then Texas receiver Brennan Eagles, 6 for 142. Kohler, we haven't talked a ton about this year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of tight ends in college football making a ton of plays, and he's been maybe in a less of a spotlight than some of those guys, but he, like, 6'6", incredible ball skills, not the greatest athlete in the world, but so good through contested catches, very willing blocker.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, like, you could see him going in the third round.
Yeah, I put Charlie Kohler for shooting up the board, and like you said, I say don't forget about Charlie, and we kind of just got a little loss, and that Brock Purdy sucks, but like Charlie Kohler and Breece Hall were just the driving force of that Iowa State offense. Like the whole passing offense, basically it runs through the tight ends and specifically Charlie Kohler, and I thought he looked great, and yeah, he's just like that old school traditional tight end, and I think he's definitely a day two. He's going to get looks on day two, and if not, it's the fourth round.
He's your Heath Miller, baby.
There you go.
And then with Brennan Eagles, he's a guy who we saw flashes last year and a little bit this year, but the Texas offense has just been so inconsistent, mm-hmm. especially with throwing the ball. But he was he is such a height, weight, speed dude. I even shot a tweet off a little bit tongue-in-cheek, saying he looked a little bit like Mike Evans in that game, especially wearing that number 13. Follow me on Twitter at RobPaulNFL. Pretty good quality stuff over there. There was the early in the game, he got a deep one where he just like so physical trying to break tackles. And then there was another one down the right sideline later in the game where he just made an incredible adjustment. And he's not a guy I expect to come out because he hasn't had a terrific year in terms of production, but maybe one of the top senior receivers we're talking about next year.
That's interesting. And yeah, I mean, I definitely like Brennan Eagles, and like you said, kind of like he's definitely been a bit of a slider or a lack of a riser, whatever you want to call it this year. And this was his big time game, and he's 6'4", 230. Like at that size, it's interesting. And I said this in the summer, you gave me shit. A tight end convert is possible in my opinion still. Like, when you see Darren Waller out there kicking ass every week on Sunday, I think that's a definite possibility in my mind. It's not going to happen, but I'm smarter than the NFL, so no big deal.
Is this going to be your new thing, trying to find big wide receivers to be tight ends where they can be Darren Waller?
Yes, yes, yes. I've been doing it for like a year in my head, and now I'm saying it. So
own your truth, AJ.
Thank you.
And speaking of Darren Waller, my best prospect this week, our boy Kyle Pitts came back in a big way after missing two games. Scored 3 touchdowns against Kentucky and just did what he does. Destroyed defenses, was a complete mismatch. Scoring in multiple types of ways, too, to showcase that NFL skill set.
Yeah, and like the whip route, I probably like, you know, the most underappreciated of the 3 touchdowns. But I think on Sundays, just have him running whip routes on the goal line all day, because that's not going to be hard. Not going to be easy to cover, man. Like if you're in zone, maybe, but if you're man, it's no shot.
It was so ridiculous. Like when you consider this man is 6'6", it's so ridiculous how smoothly he ran it, and just like, because obviously normally a bigger guy, it's hard to kind of get low, sink your hips, and. Like shoot through a route like that, and it was just nothing to him.
I swear to God, he was out of his break before the defender was like reacting to the break.
Like he ran that better than I think a lot of wide receivers, like NFL level wide receivers would.
Yeah, no, it was, and then like the natural hands pluck in the end zone, and then obviously the big play that, I mean, it's like we just take it for granted now. He was, I put 3 guys, and he was definitely one of the top 3 guys easily.
Yeah, and his first touchdown came pretty immediately for them on, what was it, 56 yards, where they just matched up a safety on him, and man-to-man, no extra coverage. I felt bad for the safety, and he just got torched.
I'll move right on. I put Devonta Smith here again, because it's like those two guys.
Me too.
Every single week, well, I mean, Pitts has been hurt, but every week they're playing, defenses just don't know how to stop them. And both both coaching staffs are doing a good job of getting, like, just like, you know, like Smith had another one out and up where he just toasted the guy, or a little pump. It's just too easy for both these guys against SEC defenses, and it's just kind of insane. I know we talk about Smith every week, but I don't think his slight frame is going to – I mean, it might hurt him, but I don't think it should, right?
I at this point, no, because he's that dominant, right? Like,
exactly.
I saw Benjamin Solek tweet something about – he's like, me before the season, I love Devonta Smith's tape, but I worry about his frame because he's 178 or something like that. And then he's like, me after he weighs in at 181 at the Senior Bowl, Devonta Smith is my wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the only knock you can have, is he is not massive. And it's not like he's short. He's just wiry.
Yeah.
But no wide receiver has been better than him in college football, especially over the last couple. Honestly, he might be the best player in college football over the last, three games or so.
I think you're right. Yeah,
no one can stop him.
Here every week. Yeah.
No one can stop him. He's, like, doing it. It's not like he's just doing it against the bottom. Like, it's not like he's doing it against Missouri or something. He's doing it to Auburn, which has a secondary full of NFL prospects.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 weeks, he's topped 203, 144, 171. Oh my god. He has 8 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Yeah, on the season, he has 12 touchdowns over 1,000 yards. Like, he's I'm assuming at this point he's going to win the Biletnikoff.
He is. Yeah.
I'm Elijah Moore, I think will be a finalist, but Devonta Smith's the most impactful wide receiver in college football. The route running, the ball skills are insane. He's like, he's not a sub 4.4 guy, but he's not slow. Like, I
was gonna ask you, what do you think he runs?
I think he'll run sub 4.5.
I think he's like in that 4.45 to 4.49 range. And like, he looked good with the ball in his hands this week. And like, you see him killing some angles. He's definitely not slow.
And I think he's gonna blow away the 3 count.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. For sure.
Unless we get a bunch of weird slow 3 cone times again.
I just kind of ignored that last year.
Yeah, that was super weird. But we talked about last week how before the season we thought maybe Devonta Smith would be that really great wide receiver prospect who slides to the late first or early second. Then we talked about how now it's like, no, he's going top 20. Now, like, as great as Ja'Marr Chase is, as freaky as Jaylen Waddle is, would you be shocked if Devonta Smith goes ahead of them?
Shocked? No. Surprised a little bit, but not really. Like, honestly, right now, I think Waddle is going to be the first wide receiver off the board, just the way the NFL fucking is. Like, Henry Ruggs wasn't the best wide receiver prospect last year. Like, he was close, but he wasn't the best, and he still was the top guy. So It's basically like Lamb, Ruggs, Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy all over again with Smith, Waddle, and Chase. To be honest,
I think there's like a chance Devonta Smith's the third wide receiver off the board, but like the majority of draft Twitter's wide receiver one.
Yeah, I don't think he goes below pick 17. That's a weird number to say, but that's my shot right now.
No. I cannot believe they got all 3 of those guys, and Judy, Ruggs, and Smith in the same recruiting class, on top of like several other guys who are NFL first round picks.
Yeah, it's fine.
Recruiting is king, AJ. I'll throw one more best prospect because we have to mention Trevor Lawrence returned to the field and was as good as ever against Pitt. Threw for over 400 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a huge on a play action deep shot to Cornell Powell. It was while Powell was getting interfered with, he had a perfect ball that went like just right between Powell's one hand and his chest plate and just stuck in there. It was awesome. Trevor Lawrence. It's like kind of, these are the 3 guys I feel like we've talked about the most this year as best prospect: Pitt, Smith, Lawrence, and then probably Fields and Waddle.
Yep. No, for sure. For sure. And, like, these are my three guys this week. I would just it's kind of copy and paste right now. I mean, it's yeah, they're just dominant every single week.
Okay, before we move on, I'm wondering, do you think will Kyle Pitts be a top 10 pick?
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about this a lot yesterday, to be honest. He's going to be close. He's going to be close. He's going top 15 at the very least. He deserves to be.
Like TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah.
TJ Hawkinson went top 10. TJ Hawkinson didn't have the ceiling Kyle Pitts has. TJ Hawkinson was an incredible blocker and I think one of the safest tight end prospects we've seen, or safest prospects we've seen in general. And he's probably going to make the Pro Bowl in year two with Detroit.
Yeah.
But Kyle Pitts' ceiling is so much higher just because he's a freak of nature.
I don't really believe in taking tight ends top 10, but Pitts looks like the exception.
Me neither, but I mean, if you're going to get a younger, like potentially better Darren Waller.
I will say, and like this is not a knock. I think he's going to test well, but I think it does come down to the testing, like kind of from that fifth to that top 15 to that top 10 little hump, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. Okay, let's move to shooting up the board. Why don't you start, AJ?
Not my top guy, but a natural transition from the Lawrence. You mentioned him. I'm going to put Cornell Powell. Man, he's looked so impressive the last few games, and like you said, had that awesome one-handed deep touchdown grab and they broke the tackle and then another great throw from Lawrence, but he high pointed that contested one on the sideline before the half. What do you have, 176 yards and a touchdown in this game? He looks like he's like, I don't know how high he's gonna go, but he's definitely like elevated himself big time. I'm just saying, like, I think the Jets go out and get Trevor Lawrence and then come back and get Cornell Powell late and just pair them together.
I love it. He does seem, oh, here comes the Cornell Powell train. But he's a guy who was like a legitimate, like not a top blue chip recruit, but a legitimate recruit who was expected to provide more to Clemson earlier. And he kind of didn't do anything until this year where he's unlocked it all and become such like Trevor Lawrence's best friend.
Yep.
And he's a guy I'd like to see at the Senior Bowl, actually.
Yeah, no, that for sure. I think he can keep on helping himself.
He's been like he's been one of the best, I think, deep threats in college football. He's shown, I mean, that one-handed catch which I talked about earlier was awesome. It's hard to say how much of it is a product of Lawrence, but I don't think you can be that productive in college football without having NFL ability.
Correct. And I mean, it's not even like he is, you know, like there's two great receivers that get all the attention, and then he's kind of like working his way as a third.
That's true.
He's right. he's like Rodgers has been really good this year, but I think Powell's been even better, and he's clearly
Powell's kind of stepped in. He stepped in with Justin Ross out. He stepped in, stepped up.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, my number one shooting up the board has to be Washington corner Elijah Molden, who was the best player in the Utah-Washington game. Early on, he was all around the line of scrimmage making plays, busting up the run, swallowing up screens. He is such a physical pest of a defensive back. And then later in the game, he made a terrific play on probably a bad decision from Jake Bentley, where he undercut a route and got a big pick and helped fuel the Huskies' comeback over the Utes. Now, he's a guy who I think is an NFL nickel, which will probably make him go lower in the draft than he should. He's still going to go day two, but I think he's another just draft. We're just going to absolutely love him. Everyone's going to claim that they like he is their son. When like in reality he's just one of the best defensive backs in college football. I don't know if there's a better run defending corner nickel in college football than him. His instincts, his ball skill, like he's got everything. He's just not the biggest guy, and he predominantly plays inside instead of outside corner. He's gonna be a plug and play nickel. Like I don't know. I loved him this summer. I think he's gonna be the number one if you're dividing corners and nickels, I think he's the number one nickel prospect, probably. Him and Javon Holland.
Yeah. No, for sure. I'm glad Molden had this big time game, and it was like, you know, Saturday night, and there wasn't too many other games on, so I'm sure he caught a lot of eyes. And like you said, the draft Twitter's gonna have like, oh, my son Elijah Molden, but really, yeah, I think he's gonna be a day two guy. And kind of off topic, but do you think we're gonna get to a point in the NFL soon where nickels are going first round, true nickels?
I don't know, because it's hard to define what a true nickel is, right? Like,
true.
Who's a true nickel in college football? Like, a lot of the time, there isn't a guy who only plays nickel.
Okay, fair enough. But a guy you're drafting to play nickel.
I thought the Dolphins did that with Minkah Fitzpatrick, but then they made him play 11 positions, and then he became a safety in Pittsburgh and is now an All-Pro.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know. That's a good – I mean, like, Tyrann Mathieu. But, again, like, a lot of the time these nickel guys play all over the place. Like, Tyrann Mathieu, Buda yeah. Baker, Antoine Winfield Jr., and, like, Bolden's in a similar mold. So, I don't know. I think that's tough to say.
Yeah, it is tough, but I mean, at this point they should be first round picks, right? Because I mean, they are starters on the defense.
I completely agree.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be interesting. I mentioned Kohler. Who else do I got here? You know what, I like the other Notre Dame defender. I'm gonna be struggling here. Adekunbo Ogundeji, the other one, 6'4", 268, had two sacks against UNC. He's a really good athlete. Like, he had that one tackle, I think it was on Williams, where Williams kind of had the corner easy, and Ogundeji kind of like from almost the guard spot just worked out there and closed easy and made the tackle. And then he was flashing the power on the pass rush too. Really, really impressive, and I like a lot of these Notre Dame players, and it hurts me to say that, but like him, Hayes, I think they're both kind of just ballers.
Well, he's a former big recruit, yep. who obviously kind of hasn't made a big impact until this year, just because of the depth they've had, yep. And he's going to be at the Senior Bowl. And every week, him and Daylon Hayes seem to make plays. Like, that Notre Dame team is so well built because it's built through the trenches.
Very much so.
I will go with Oregon State's Jamar Jefferson, who set the Platypus Bowl record for rushing yards with 226, was basically Oregon State's entire offense in the upset of Oregon. He isn't a guy I loved over the summer. He was really productive as a freshman, banged up as a sophomore. I didn't love him over the summer. He's starting to really put it together. And you kind of mentioned earlier, like, this running back class is a little strange. He's a guy who, if he declares, like, probably doesn't go till this could be totally wrong in a couple months, but, like, let's say the fourth round. But he's just a very perfect kind of one-cut-and-hit-it guy. Mm-hmm. He showed big burst on that 82-yard touchdown run. He's well-built, 5'10", 215. Hasn't done a ton on passing downs, and I think that's going to kind of be something that hurts him. But in terms of pure runner, like, he's the type of guy who's going to end up running for 1,000 yards in a Shanahan-Kubiak scheme.
Honestly, I agree with, like, everything you said. And I put him for a prospect who made me look stupid because I also didn't think much of him in the summer. And, like, he was a bit dinged up last year, and now he's back, and he's healthy, and he's tearing up the Pac-12. And, like, he's got a shit ton of yards over the short season. Like you say, put the Beavs on his back and won the Platypus. And like you said, I think that fourth, fifth round is specifically where he's going to be targeted, and so well built, and yeah, I think we whiffed a bit, but no, he's definitely going to be coveted, and I think, like, exactly like you said, one cut and go scheme. I think he's going to find a nice role there.
I'm kind of excited to really, like, not have the college football season end, but just have that free time to really dive into some of these guys' tape, and especially this running back class, just because we obviously have two just complete alphas at the top between Etienne and Harris, right?
Yep.
And then you mentioned Gainwell earlier, but he opted out. Who knows if he actually ends up declaring? And then, like, obviously, Journey Brown medically retired.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard's not having a great year. And just, I guess, hashing out how this running back class shakes up.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because there's a lot of guys that catch our eye every week. But like you said, we haven't dug in really. And it's going to be fun because I think there's going to be a lot of people with, like, different, like, this is my guy. And yeah, no, for sure. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun digging into this group. You know, I'll go with Bobby Brown, my next guy. Yeah, like I just thought he was he's first of all 6'4", 325. He's a big boy, and like we already talked about that A&M defensive line just controlled the LSU offensive line. Mm-hmm. He had a sack, another half TFL. I think he looks really impressive, and I'm like this A&M team, man.
Yeah, I do too. And you and me generally like to hate on the Jimbo Fisher Aggies, yeah, because
they're overrated.
Usually they're overrated, but this defense has been so good. Now the offense isn't that good; it's super inconsistent. Isaiah Spiller and Aeneas Smith, tons of fun.
Yeah,
but that offense is a little bit scary. But the defense is just so fun. And I love this defensive line. I think Bobby Brown looks like a dude. I think Jaden Peavy looks like a dude. Mm-hmm. And they, I don't know, they play hard as hell. And they just have a lot of experience on the defense in general, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like the sophomore, too. And, like, yeah, I like this A&M team. Do you have anyone else?
I'll go, speaking of A&M, I'll go with Buddy Johnson.
Yeah.
The linebacker in the middle.
Yeah.
First of all, he looks cool as hell because I personally love the Aggies aesthetic.
Dude, he looks out of the 90s. I put him for out of nowhere prospect.
big time 90s vibes.
Yeah.
Wearing that number one, just being the alpha in the middle of a top defense. But he's all over the field. He had the pick six. He's a guy who's started for multiple years.
Yeah.
It just gives you the vibe of this guy's going to be on an NFL roster. He plays hard as hell. And I thought he looked pretty athletic and instinctual against LSU, although LSU couldn't, like, their offense is really, really, really pathetic, but he was great.
No, exactly. I put him out of nowhere. And he's a little old school, like he's 6'2", 240, but like you said, he moves pretty well. And hey, he held that pick. He looked like a running back with his hands, with the ball in his hands. And yeah, the whole aesthetic where... Well, the Aggies kind of wear their 90s style jerseys, and he's got the fucking the roll up and stuff. He looks fun and like apparently just a leader on that team. So I think mm-hmm. I think that's definitely a good pick.
I would much rather this Texas A&M team in the playoff than Florida, just because I feel like I've seen so much of Florida this year.
We've watched a lot of Florida games, like just
yeah.
I don't know. And like I mean, I love Pitts, I love Tony, so like it's fun. But no, kind of in a goofier way. the last guy I'll go to is Demetric Felton, who I think I mentioned last week, and it was another just massive usage game. He had 32 carries plus 4 catches, had what 200 and I'm doing the math in my head. I'm bad at it. 229 yards total. A touchdown. Unfortunately, he pulled up at the end of the game, which, I mean, he should have probably not been out there anyway. Ship is giving him too many touches. Kind of ridiculous. But he's carrying this UCLA offense without DTR out there. And, man, he looks shifty. He looks explosive between the tackles. He's giving you, with Antonio Gibson killing it on Thanksgiving, he's kind of like giving you Antonio Gibson light vibes because he's not the size of Gibson. But... you know, same thing where you weren't sure if he's a wide receiver or a running back, and Felton's a converted wide receiver, and like played that true in between role last year, and now he's playing like a true running back role. So I don't know where he's gonna go. Probably another like fourth round type of guy, but someone's gonna find him, and the role is gonna be really interesting for him. But he's proven that he can play running back.
I'm loving these. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's maybe more of a recent thing in terms of they're becoming prospects. But these kind of wide receiver, running back, chess pieces, And I already mentioned Aeneas Smith with TAMU. He's same type of dude. Yep. And here's another one, maybe. I love James Cook. Every time I watch Georgia, I think he is such an impressive athlete. He ran for 104 and 2 scores against South Carolina. Dalvin Cook's little brother. I don't know what to think of him in as a prospect, and I don't know if he would declare.
He's a junior, right?
Yes. True junior who catches the ball really well when they get him involved in that way, too. I think he's got a future in the NFL as that type of satellite back dude who's just really good athlete and just moves so well.
That's a good one to bring up because it kind of feels like no one's talking about him too much. And every time you watch a Georgia game, sometimes they don't get him the ball, but whenever they do, he looks good. Mm-hmm. And you know he's going to get looks because of the bloodlines. Like, Dalvin Cook's a top two running back in the league, if not the best running back in the league right now. And that's an interesting one. And, yeah, I don't know if he'll come out, but if he doesn't, big time to watch next year because I think, like White will probably be in the draft, so it might just be all on him.
Okay, do you have anybody else you want to start being mean?
Let's start being mean. can we start with quarterbacks? Because I'm sure we both probably have a quarterback or two.
Okay. So I thought about it in this. I put in my mind it's Senior Bowl quarterbacks specifically. Sam Ellinger, Kellen Mond, and Kenny Pickett. I thought all three of them looked pretty terrible.
I put Kenny Pickett for overhyped because I'm kind of tired of him being QB 6-7, whatever. So
fair.
Let's start with Kellen Mond. I thought maybe not the worst of the bunch, but I mean, like, I don't know, what is he, 11-34 for 105 yards? It was,
in his defense, it was raining.
Yes,
but.
And they're rusty. They haven't played in a while, but I mean, still.
It's hard to get it's hard to get excited about seeing that.
believe it or not, Rob, it actually rains in NFL games too. So,
Well, the thing is with Mond, it felt like he had started to really come on in recent games.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, now I can see it, like, because we've never questioned the physical tools are clearly there. It's been the consistency, the snap to snap and drive to drive consistency. He'll always throw in a kind of a weird, panicky decision that leads to a big negative play every once in a while. So you're starting to think, well, maybe like late day three, I can see it. He's going to go to the Senior Bowl. He's probably going to look pretty good in shorts. And then this. And then it's like, he just felt so irrelevant to the A&M win.
He very much so. He was. Like, I mean, if anything, he prevented them from winning more. I do think, though, like you said, he's going to look pretty good in shorts. Because, like, you do see sometimes he spins the ball pretty well at times. And, like, but, yeah, I coming into this week, I thought for sure he'd probably be a draft pick. It's like you said, late day three, sixth or seventh round. But, yeah, this is just kind of like a really, really nothing game. And for Pickett, it was like, hey, his name's not Pickett for no reason, baby. He threw four of them.
Damn. Yeah, he never looked comfortable at all. You can tell he's got a great, like, a rocket arm, but it doesn't matter if he's just ripping them into tight windows that aren't actually windows and end up being defenders, and then he ends up throwing four picks and they're immediately out of the game halfway through the first quarter. He's obviously a guy you would bring into training camp. Yes. But I don't know. I don't see it. And it's weird because there are some big fans of his on draft Twitter, but I have a hard time seeing it. I don't like interceptions. And then with Sam Ellinger, it was, I don't know, it's every Sam Ellinger game's the same. He puts up numbers. He looks good running, like a fullback. There'll be some flashy passing plays, but like in terms of just being a true quarterback, there's not a lot of that with him.
No.
He's an H-back in the NFL. He's a fullback, he's an H-back. We gotta, like, I don't think he's a quarterback. We'll see at the Senior Bowl, but yeah.
I think someone will want him on their team, though. Like, it's just, you know, he's Texas and he's a good leader and blah blah blah. But yeah, he's not great. Can I quickly going back to Pickett? I totally agree. Like as a cap guy and like get him some reps in the preseason. I like Pickett, but it's just the Twitter stuff is a little too hot for me. Mm-hmm. And like the seeing QB7 and like saying he's a fourth or fifth round pick, whatever. I don't feel that way. And hey, never forget Nathan Peterman put on a show against Clemson. Kenny Pickett didn't.
Okay, I'll give you a running back from Friday's games. Javonte Williams against Notre Dame didn't look very good. He's a guy whose tape I actually watched before that game, and I didn't dislike it, but I didn't think he was a top 100 prospect or anything. Against Notre Dame, 38 yards on 13 touches, just didn't look overly explosive. Wasn't breaking tackles the way we've seen it earlier in the year. I know his numbers are insane this year, but I don't think he's like a high ceiling guy. I think he's a high floor back, and he'll be a good rotational guy. You know who he gives me a bit of a vibe of is Jamal Williams, now that I'm speaking this out loud.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. And hey, nothing wrong with Jamal Williams. He's a good back.
I think he'll be a good backup running back in the NFL.
I think I might like him a little more than you right now, but I definitely agree on this performance. They needed him. And I'm going to parlay this in kind of a weird one, but I got two more guys here. But for outplay the box score, I kind of put Michael Carter. Because every time he touched the ball, he had like 7.1 yards per carry plus a 23-yard catch. And they only give him 9 touches. I kind of felt like they should have been going to him a little more. And I know second half, it just kind of – Notre Dame kind of just controlled the ball. But I thought he looked better than – I don't even have to say I think. He looked better than Williams. And I feel like they should have kind of went to him more. And it was kind of like Williams had been the guy all year. They went to him, but
I love Michael Carter. I think he's going to end up potentially a top five. Not even potentially. I think he's going to end up a top five back for me.
I like both of these guys a lot, to be honest. And they're just so much fun. You know what? Can I almost don't want to do it, but I put Kyle Trask here. And yeah, the stat line was good, but hey, bad for him. Only 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's just not doing it for me, man. And I saw a couple people on Twitter talking about this, and I think it's a good point. It's like maybe you start evaluating quarterbacks as like a guy who really elevates your team, and a guy who's like a more of a facilitator type. And
yeah, I think who was it? Croc brought that up.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like he's
for sure.
Are you going to be upset with him start playing quarterback? For your NFL team, sometimes, because you're going to look around, like he said, you're going to look around the league and you're going to see Patrick Mahomes and whoever the hell else, Russell Wilson, whatever. And you're like, fuck, I wish I had one of those guys. But I think he's going to be in the league and he's going to play, but he just doesn't do it for me.
And just to give examples of that type of guy, there, it's like the Nick Foles, it's the Kirk Cousins, it's the Jared Goff. You have to scheme the big plays with them. Yeah. Versus the Patrick Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, those guys make these huge plays regardless of what's happening around them. And I think Kyle Trask's a high floor guy. I think he's gonna be a capable starter, but I'm not taking him in the first round because totally. I don't think he can win me a Super Bowl. Like everything else around him has to be perfect for him to win a Super Bowl. And in the NFL, that's just not a really much of a reality. So why take that over a Trey Lance who's got, sure, way more bust potential, but if it comes together, like, with what he has in terms of tools, the ceiling is just so much higher.
Here's a hot take off the top of my head. It might almost be better to get a bust than to get stuck in a Kyle Trask type situation.
Yeah, because then what? Like, he puts up enough, he does enough for you that now you've paid him and you're paying him top 10 quarterback money, which puts you in cap hell.
You'll make the playoffs once every 2 years, and
yeah, or versus if he just busts, you just move on. If you're a smart GM, you move on
exactly,
and then try again
exactly. Like even like, you know, prime example, Josh Rosen, and then to Kyler Murray, where we were both two huge Josh Rosen fans, but they knew he wasn't getting it done, and they moved on, and Kyler Murray clearly looks like the guy that can win you a Super Bowl. So yeah, it's like I don't know which teams are going to be targeting a guy like Kyle Trask. It might be the Chicago Bears, but who think their defense is Super Bowl capable, and this guy can just steady the ship. But I don't know. And or maybe it's a team that thinks that they can develop him and sit him for a bit. But even then, the potential's not that high. So I don't know exactly where he's going to land in the NFL.
No, it's going to be fun. This quarterback class is going to be a ton of fun.
For sure.
I'll give you Seth Williams.
Yeah, from that was the Iron Bowl. That was my next
one. He felt like a pretty obvious one this week. Normally Auburn's most consistent playmaker. Three catches, 17 yards against Bama. Had just a drop that, like, they were going to lose the game anyway, but that drop
really cemented
it.
Yeah.
And I think we've mentioned it before. Where is he going to fall in the grand scheme of this wide receiver class, where he's this more of this power forward, this contested catch type receiver? And we've seen those guys fall in the NFL draft a little more, like the Antonio Gandy-Goldens of the world. So I don't even know if he would declare. Who knows? Like, I think if him and Anthony Schwartz declared, sure, he's been much more productive than Anthony Schwartz in college, but Schwartz's ceiling is so much higher because he's a freaky athlete that he would go above him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, like, I still like Seth Williams, but landing spots can be really important for him. And like you said, had that brutal drop. Had another one where it should have been pass interference, but he dropped it regardless, still didn't catch it. Then
you know what he should do? He should transfer out, because assuming we get the one free transfer year, he should transfer out to a school that employs a real quarterback.
You should. And you know what else? Maybe, and this is a little mean, maybe he should transfer out to a lesser conference, because sometimes he just seems to not show up against the top-end competition. Like, Surtain erased him, had the TFL on him too. It just feels like if Auburn is playing a weaker SEC team without a top corner, and Nix isn't shitting the bed, he has big games. But then when it's against, you know, the big time corners, Surtain, Horn too. Yeah, I mean, I almost said big time teams, but South Carolina isn't. But against Horn, against the good corners, he's just kind of invisible to bad. So.
Do you have anybody else?
I kind of put Hamilcar Rashid, who I just didn't think.
Okay. I put him for who's being overhyped, because I keep seeing him show up in the second round of mock drafts.
Yeah.
But it just, when you watch the Oregon State games, and I mentioned, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago against Washington State, like, you're not really feeling or seeing his impact.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be because they're gravitating to him, because he's kind of the only thing going.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't want to kill him, but it's definitely that he hasn't looked impressive. And it was kind of, I mean, I know he was big time productive last year, big time, but even then it was kind of like you're still projecting with him a bit, because I don't know. So yeah, I just don't. Go ahead. Yeah,
he's undersized. He's an impressive athlete, and he makes some flashy plays. But his hands are still very raw. Yeah. He's undersized, and he doesn't have a lot of moves in the toolbox, so it worries you.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay, I'll give you, we're talking pass rushers, baby. How about Ali Gay, who's a guy who kept catching my eye early on in LSU season. LSU season hasn't gone very well. And against Texas A&M, outside of a TFL, I thought he was a pretty big non-factor. And if you watch him, he looks the part. He's like 6'6", 250. He's twitched up. But it's his first year playing FBS football. Like, he transferred up from JUCO. And you can see how raw he is. And he's another guy who, if that speed doesn't work, the kind of like the speed dip bend, if that doesn't work, he's kind of locked up. And A&M's got a great offensive line. But he's a guy who early in the season, I thought, when I was seeing some of the stuff I was seeing, I thought, like, this guy could be a top 100 pick. Now I think this guy's got to go back to school.
Exactly. It's like, it's almost like you're not killing him. It's just like he went from a potential big time riser to go back to LSU and refine everything there. He looked good on that one TFL. But
yeah, he did. No, he's a freaky athlete, and he's really long.
Yeah. No, he's like definitely intriguing, but I think you're right, especially when LSU can't be this bad next year, and we already talked about this, but go back and figure all that shit out.
I'm going to add one more. Jason Away, the Penn State edge rusher.
Yeah.
Two penalties against Michigan. He's weird, because there will be games like where he's kind of like Gay, but more impressive in terms of his physical traits, but not resulting in a ton of production. He's going to be, I think, a little tough because you're seeing him in mock drafts, but still, there's something to mock drafts. You're seeing him like consistently be like a top 20 pick, and I think he's one of the classic edge projection guys where it's like, this guy is built to be an NFL pass rusher, but it hasn't come together. Is he going to be Danielle Hunter and it's going to come together at the next level, or is he going to be Deion Jordan?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like the flashes are definitely there, and like even week to week, you see the flashes, but he just disappears for stretches.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's a bit of a worry for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of nowhere, prospect, you mentioned, who'd you have?
I had Buddy Johnson, but I'll throw another name. Right. How about Javon McKinley for Notre Dame? Who? It's like all their pass catchers. I like Ben Jeronic is fun, too. And like I said, Michael Myers is awesome. I like Tommy Tremble. Tommy Tremble's growing on me. I know he doesn't touch the ball too often. But McKinley's another guy that's built like a big, he's not quite a tight end, but he's 6'2", 215, is a big boy. He's getting downfield, making big-time catches. Notre Dame's offense is fun in like a really goofy way. And then and like the offensive line is great. Williams is my favorite player in the world. And Buck is just a wild man with McKinley. It's just like every week it's one of these guys going out and catching balls. And I don't know where him or Sharonic go if they go, but they're interesting guys.
Weird year when you and me are in on Texas A&M and Notre Dame.
I know. I mean, it's been a weird year, so it all makes sense.
How about your guy, Cade Otton for Washington? 8 catches, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns against Utah. He is Washington's best offensive threat. Washington consistently produces NFL tight ends who, like, everyone's like, why did this guy go so high? But he's actually putting up better numbers than I remember the other ones. So he looked his ball skills were pretty impressive. He looked really good moving. I like what I'm seeing there.
You know what it is? It's because when a UW baby, when a UW tight end comes out, they can block. They learn how to block at
facts.
at Washington. Like that's why Drew Sample was a second round pick. He shouldn't have been. And Will Disley, I mean, 2 terrible injuries, but when he hasn't been injured, he's been phenomenal for the Seahawks. And Joel McHale probably can throw on the pads and still block, baby. So I trust him. Yeah.
Who made you look stupid?
I said Jamar Jefferson because right. I just didn't like him in the summer. I'm like, okay, pretty jaggy and yeah, he just wasn't fully healthy last year and now he is and he's fucking wrecking the Pac-12.
I put Mac Jones because before the year I thought like Mac Jones was going to be one of these Greg McElroy Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he is so much more than that. He threw 5 touchdowns in the Iron Bowl. He doesn't have a great arm, but he makes up for it with wonderful touch. You see that every week. I think the Devonta Smith touchdown on the corner, his second touchdown, he lofted it to perfection. And same with the Billingsley one. Like he lofts these beautiful touch passes to perfection. I think he has been, at least while watching games live, much more impressive than Kyle Trask.
I wonder if Trask and Jones being in this class together hurts each other.
I would take Jones before I take Trask. I'll say that. I think Jones ends up consensus QB5.
Interesting. Okay. I think I like Jones better right now, but I'm less mean to Jones for sure, but I'm not going to stake my claim yet.
Fair. And speaking of that, my best prospect versus prospect matchup, it wasn't like actually the best, but Alabama's pass catchers just torching the Auburn secondary that's got at least 4 NFL guys in it with Smoke Monday, Jamie Sherwood, Christian Tutt, and Roger McCreary.
I went the other way. I think mine was the best, but it wasn't a true matchup. I put Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara versus Chad Surratt, who I think were...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, they were so fun on Friday. Where, I think Joke outplayed him. He had 9 tackles. 2 really near sacks. I would have had him for outplay the box score, but I put him here instead. Man, first of all, you watch him. I think he's one of the most fun players in the country to watch. And like when you really sit down and pay attention to him. And like, you know, it's been carrying insane speed downfield and looking great in coverage. And then this week, it looking really good as a blitzer. He's really effective. Didn't get home, but I he's so much fun. And then Surratt, he did get home really early for a sack. Had another hurry, 7 tackles. He looks good every week, but not spectacular. Like, is that fair?
Yeah. No. I think he right now, if I had to guess, I think it's a loaded linebacker class, but I think he's going to blow up the combine so much that he ends up being like one of the top linebackers off the board.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think the only guaranteed first rounders are Micah Parsons and Jock.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I mean, and I think I'm kind of afraid that some NFL teams might be a little weary of Jock, but I don't think they should be.
Yeah, I think he'll be a top 15 prospect. And I love Nick Bolton. He's one of my favorite players in the draft, but maybe his size pushes him down. Zaven Collins, love his tape too, but maybe being from a small school. Dylan Moses just hasn't been the same player this year. It's a really great linebacker class, though. And, like, your boy Cam McGrone has just dealt with injuries that I don't think he'll declare.
No.
But, no, really, really fun linebacker class. For me, outplayed the box score. I went with that interior defensive line for Texas A&M because I thought they were the heart and soul of that victory over LSU and just doing God's work, keeping Buddy Johnson clean behind them, too. those guys can play.
they can. They're really good. I mentioned Michael Carter earlier, but I'll give you two other guys. I thought Joseph Osai, like, this is probably not his best game, but he's still over Brock Purdy, and he wasn't credited with anything, but had a half TFL, three tackles. I think he had one where he forced an intentional grounding, but they picked the flag up. It was weird. But Osai, every week, he's the best player on the Texas team, easily. I put him, and I put another pass rusher. I cannot say his name. I know lots of fans. Odigashua. I'm not even close. He only had one tackle, but for UCLA, by the way. But winning a lot of reps. And another guy that is going to be interesting because he was on the Feldman Freaks list, correct?
Yep.
And I think another interesting guy. And we'll see what comes of them. But two pass rushers who are always kind of better than their rest of their team is.
For being overhyped, I already mentioned Ivor Shad. Who do you have?
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, right. Okay, and then small school guy, I'm assuming we both have Jarrett Patterson.
I'm glad we both saved him for the end, too.
409 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns against Kent State. Fuck you, Lance Leopold, for not letting him get the record. Yeah, Jared Patterson, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
We shit on him.
We talked about how he didn't look as great as he should against, I can't even remember who it was against, but Kevin Marks played better.
Yeah.
And then last week, he ran for like 300 yards, and this week he's at 409. Also, his twin brother led the team in tackles. The Patterson brothers are fueling Buffalo to another MAC championship. Lance Leopold should be a Power 5 head coach soon.
He's going to get looks very soon, for sure.
I saw someone make a good point, though. The only thing working against him is he is a little older. He's like 56.
Oh, actually, I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah, because he was at Wisconsin Whitewater for so long.
Built a powerhouse, baby. But quickly going back to Patterson, they were really huge holes to run through a lot of the time. I can't say anything negative about him, especially after he shut us the fuck up the last 2 weeks. But, I mean... Hey, I still like Kevin Marks too. It's did you see what he said about, like, he just didn't know, realize he had 8 touchdowns? Like, come on, Leipold, that is Leipold, whatever. That's there's no way. That's
true. He should, someone well some even if that were true, someone should be in his ear telling him.
There's no way you don't know that he has 8 touchdowns. Like, if you say, okay, I didn't know he had 409 yards, I think that's valid,
right?
But 8 touchdowns, you know.
Whatever. I wouldn't hire Lance Leopold because of that. but you know what I would do? I would purchase anything Manscaped makes because they support 7 Rounds in Heaven. Manscaped's the best men's below-the-belt grooming. They offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has a proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we know.
The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pairs of boxers to Manscaped high-performance and anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And now that college basketball is underway, college football's nearing bowl season, the NFL's in the home stretch, it's the best time to bet online. So head to BetOnline and use the code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. AJ, how will you be paying for Christmas gifts this year?
You don't want to know how I make my money.
Well, I'll be paying for mine by betting online. So thanks, BetOnline, for being the presenting sponsor of my 5 picks of the week and AJ's one short of a six pack. AJ, how'd you do last week?
I went 2-1. Like two games canceled on me, the Apple Cup and that Oklahoma West Virginia game.
I went 2-2 with also having the Apple Cup canceled.
Sucks. So I got an extra one in my six pack this week, Rob.
You know I don't because I'm saving them all.
You're gonna make so many picks. What's your record on the season now?
27-23.
Okay, I'm still 22-30. Every time I'm having good weeks, it's
how many games have you picked? If I'm at 50. How many have you picked?
53.
Oh, so I'm only gonna be four behind. Damn.
Yeah.
I was hoping to be double digits.
Anyways.
Okay. I'm going to start us off with a Friday night, 9 p.m. on FS1, Washington State playing the USC Trojans, the number 18 USC Trojans.
Fight on.
I put the Cougs plus 9.5.
I didn't pick this game, but hey, we got a good Friday, to be honest. I got another Friday game here, too. Yeah, I think that's fair. And you're taking the Washington, right?
Yeah, USC seems to play everybody close and not winning until the last seconds. The only thing is Washington State's been off for so long and COVID's been a big factor with them. So that's kind of why if that wasn't the case, I think I wouldn't make USC as high as 9.5.
Yeah.
But because of that, I'm going to do that. And Washington State played Oregon close. I think they've got the offense to make this a high-scoring game, so...
No, I think that's a good call. Like USC wins, but by like 7 points.
Yeah. Okay. Who you got?
Friday night, 7 p.m. So this one, you watching before that game? ESPN2, ULL at App State. ULL just beat the brakes off of ULM, and I'm taking them -6.5 at the Rock, which is a little tricky. I'm not sure about this line. Because, like, I feel like UL is going to get a lot of respect after just dismantling ULM. And maybe App State's a little underappreciated. So if this line's bigger than this, I kind of like App State. But if it's less than a touchdown, give me the Raging Cajuns, even in the Rock. I like this Cajuns team. App State's, like, they're still good, but they slipped a little bit. So rage on, Cajuns.
Hell yeah. I like it. Okay. Jump to Saturday, noon, ABC, number 4, Ohio State at Michigan State.
What's the spread?
Ohio State, Ohio State obviously had the Illinois game canceled. Michigan State just upset Northwestern. I put it at Ohio State minus 11.5, but what do you think?
I have 10 more points up. I don't.
Damn.
I don't think we can come between. I'll go like 17.5. I don't think they're going to give Michigan State respect. It's still Ohio State.
Let's do 20.5.
Yeah, you want to come off the high? I mean, I might be wrong, but like seeing Alabama favored by, what was it, 24 against Auburn?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
I think I'm factoring too much in that Michigan State upset Northwestern and Ohio State just didn't play.
Yeah, that's true, and like it's again, it's tricky year as hell for Lions, but we found that they're just Vegas is just loading on the blue bloods. Like if it's a blue blood,
yeah.
They're just putting the spread high.
Sorry, what did you put it at?
21.5.
Let's just do that.
Okay. I mean, I would love to come down and get this dub and catch up to 500, but fuck. I'm going to go
what's your next one?
To the 330, maybe on ABC game, another Big Ten matchup. I almost didn't want to pick it, but there's not too many good games. Indiana at Wisconsin. Nope. Tricky, tricky line. Michael Penix might be out. So this is kind of dependent on that, and Wisconsin's a mess, obviously. I'm taking Wisconsin minus 13.5. That's Penix dependent.
Oh, my God. I put it so different than you.
What is it?
I put Wisconsin minus 3.5.
It's Penix depending.
Yeah, do we?
I know we had to pick this game because it's one of the few good games. I almost didn't want to because of that. Let's split the diff and go like 7.5. But it's like if Penix is out, roll Wisconsin. If he's playing and healthy, I like Indiana plus the points, to be honest. So it's like a tricky one.
Wisconsin just had their top corner opt out and declare to Rashad Wild Goose.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that. Exactly. So I don't know. I don't trust Wisconsin, but I don't believe in Indiana without Penix.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's very dependent. Take Wisconsin if Penix not playing. Otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah, and like if the spread is too big, just stay away.
Okay, 8 p.m. CBS, number one Alabama at LSU. I put Bama 14.5, but now I think it should be way higher.
I put it 23.5, yeah.
I'm just going to take mine to that.
Again, they're not respecting these. Like Auburn, if Auburn's 24, Auburn's way better than LSU, apparently.
Like even if Alabama has an off offensive night, they'll still win this game like 38-3.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't believe in Finley to march that LSU offense anywhere. No,
they look terrible.
It's all Terrence Marshall, yeah.
My last game to be announced at time and date and everything. West Virginia at number 13 Iowa State. I'm taking the Mountaineers plus 6.5.
Robert, I have exactly the same pick, buddy. Mountaineers plus 6.5.
It feels right. I think Iowa State wins it, but Iowa State tends to play everybody close. West Virginia's got really good defense. I think they're going to really mess up Brock Purdy.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring game, and I feel like an Iowa State like 20-17 win.
Yep, I like that. I feel exactly the same. So we'll move on. My last two, I almost didn't want to pick this one either. Texas A&M, after we give them all the love, at Auburn. Tricky, tricky line. I'm saying Auburn plus 8.5, and I'll take it. I think, are you okay with that line? I'm not sure about it.
Plus 8.5?
Yeah, at home.
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm taking Auburn with the points. It might be bigger. I think A&M wins, but they don't beat the brakes off Auburn, especially after how Mon just looked anemic this week. And my last one, and definitely the best game of the week, another TBD game, Liberty at Coastal Carolina. I got the chance, minus 4.5, in what should be a really, really fun game.
But yeah, that's like the week sucks, and that's a good game to actually watch.
Yes, it's like we've kind of got a couple of treats in the group of five on these off weeks, to be honest, and I'm glad for it.
Go Chanticleers.